With all that's been happening in the world recently, one has to wonder just how much closer we may be to the end times. Skip Heitzig gets some insight on that today from Joel Rosenberg.
The last few months have been among the most extraordinary in the history of the modern Middle East. There's no question about it. There are revolutions sweeping North Africa and the Middle East. And you're right. From Algeria and Tunisia and Libya, all the way through Egypt, Bahrain, Yemen, and of course Syria and Jordan. Jesus talks about in Luke 21, when he's listing all the signs that we'd be watching for, that would be indicators that his return was close. One of them is revolution, uprising, and we're certainly seeing that.
Welcome to the First Friday edition of The Connection with Skip Heitzig. Today we're going to take a short break from our current series, The Biography of God, to get reacquainted with an old friend, Joel Rosenberg. Joel is not only a best-selling author, but he's also active with humanitarian efforts in Israel and the Middle East, and one of the key figures in the Epicenter Prophecy Conference taking place in Jerusalem later on this month. He's someone who's always had unique insights on what's taking place in the world today and why it matters to us as Christians. So we're looking forward to this conversation with him and Skip Heitzig. But before we get started, if you'd like to pick up a copy of one of Joel's books and also see what he has to share about Israel and the epicenter of history and prophecy, you'll want to make sure you get a copy of this month's exclusive resource package. Here are all the details.
Going on a road trip with a small child isn't easy.
Are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet now?
No.
How about now? Are we there yet?
No.
It's a little exasperating for the parent and hard for an impatient child. Ever wonder if God feels the same way? With every earthquake or battle, believers curious about the end times inevitably ask, "Are we there yet?" This month, The Connection shares some clues about just how close the end times may be with Joel Rosenberg's book, Inside the Revolution, and the DVD Epicenter, featuring Skip Heitzig and Joel Rosenberg. Discover why the end times will all center around Jerusalem and take a peek inside radical Islam. Order the Final Days package from The Connection for just $30 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org.
With so much happening so quickly in our world today, it's good every now and then to step back and look at the bigger picture. And Joel Rosenberg is just the guy to help us do that. Stay tuned to find out more.
Take the time. Make the connection. Take the time to make the connection.
And now let's go in studio to pick up on the conversation between Skip Heitzig and Joel Rosenberg.
Well, Joel, you and I are going to be attending an Epicenter conference in Jerusalem in the month of May. And I know that you've had several of these over the years, these conferences. What's the purpose of the Epicenter conference?
Well, it's the same purpose as when you and I kicked this thing off in April of 2008 in Jerusalem, and that is to educate followers of Jesus Christ from North America and from around the world as to God's plan and purpose for Israel and her neighbors. We are at a moment where the rebirth of Israel is the critical sign that indicates that we are living in the last days, that the return of Jesus Christ is rapidly approaching. We don't know when he's going to come, but we know it's getting closer because Israel is the super sign. It's prophetic rebirth, and Jews coming back to Israel after centuries of exile. They're all coming from exile. And so the question, but many Christians don't understand Israel's history, Israel's present, or Israel's prophetic future. And even aside just from the education is, okay, Lord, now that I would know Israel's past, present, and future, so what? How am I supposed to live differently as a follower of Jesus Christ, both where I live back in North America or in Asia or Africa or wherever, as well as how am I supposed to be a blessing to Israel and her neighbors? How am I supposed to strengthen the church? What are practical ways that I can take my knowledge about what you are doing, Lord, in the epicenter, in Israel and the Middle East, and do something biblical, practical, and fruitful? This is, I think, the critical mission. It's an educational and an encouraging ministry. That's the heart of the Epicenter Conferences.
Joel, let me press you on the title. You call it the Epicenter Conference. Why? What do you mean by epicenter?
Well, epicenter, obviously, of course, all your listeners will be familiar with it as a geological term, the point above the origins of an earthquake, from which all those radiating waves of pressure move out from that central point. So that's a geological term. We are seeing geopolitical earthquakes going on in the region right now, meaning governments are being toppled, economies are being transformed forever, terrorist movements are being born or destroyed. Israel is the focal point of the world's attention. And biblically, Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 5, God says specifically through the Hebrew prophet Ezekiel that he set Jerusalem at the center of the nation.
Mm-hmm.
The Hebrew literally says at the belly button or the navel of the world. So geographically, Israel is the epicenter of the world. Jerusalem is the epicenter of Israel. And the Temple Mount is the epicenter of Jerusalem. In terms of the church, of course, Acts 1:8, Jesus started the church in Jerusalem, in Israel, and said the gospel would go forth from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the very ends of the earth. So both geographically and spiritually, Israel and Jerusalem are the center of God's plan and purpose.
And to be back there in Jerusalem, you've done these conferences in a lot of different places around the world. To be back in Israel, what is that like to do a, not only to be back in Israel, but to take a conference like this and have it in the land?
Well, I think it's critical for a number of reasons. I think the main reason is because when followers of Jesus Christ actually return to Jerusalem, where the church was born, and lift up the name of Yeshua, lift up the name of Jesus Christ in the city where he was crucified, in the city where he was resurrected, and the city that he will return to in the not-too-distant future, this is music to Jesus' ear. I believe he wants people to come back to Israel, to Jerusalem. You know, there are not that many believers in Israel, more than there were, you know, 40 years ago when I was born. There's now 15,000 believers in Jesus, Jewish believers in Jesus, in Israel, up from fewer than 200 in 1967. But still, I think when we bring strong, healthy, godly followers of Jesus Christ back to the epicenter to lift up his name, to worship him, to study his word, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and then get dispatched to go back to their homes, to their congregations, to take the message of prophecy and the gospel back to the ends of the earth, there's a lot of power in this. And that, of course, is what Acts 1:8 is about, that when we go forth from Jerusalem with the power of the Holy Spirit, then he's going to do something extraordinary, both in Israel and around the world. And that's what we need to get back to, the essence of Acts chapter 1 and 2.
So in this year's conference in May, what's going to be the theme, and who's going to be there speaking?
Well, this is exciting because the theme this year is the book of Joel. Now, let me clarify, the Hebrew book of Joel, the prophetic book of Joel, the real book of Joel.
Not the book of Joel Rosenberg?
Not my book.
Okay.
Right, exactly. So we're the book of Joel in the Old Testament is, of course, three chapters long. We're going to literally, on the first day of the two-day Epicenter Conference, go through line by line, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, I just was with 20 Israeli pastors just a few weeks ago. They can't remember the last time the book of Joel was taught that way in the land of Israel.
Huh.
So it's time to be dusted off, you know, and taught. Why? Because the theme of the book of Joel is so critical. The day of the Lord is coming. Surely it is near. In fact, Joel chapter 2 says, blow a trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain, because the day of the Lord is coming. Surely it is near. We don't know when the day of the Lord, his final arrival, his actual literal touching down in Jerusalem, we don't know exactly when that will be. But we know we're getting closer. And so the question is, we need to study that book and say, Lord, what message does that little book in the Old Testament have for us today, for us as believers around the world, as well as for the church in Israel and for the people of Israel? And this has just been on my heart for quite a long time, and I just have this sense that the Holy Spirit is dusting off, as it were, the book of Joel and saying, this is an important message for the church and for Israel, and it's really about repentance and a call back to following the Lord and worshiping him and fasting and praying and getting right with him, so that when we see him, we're not ashamed and that we're living a life of holiness and evangelism and discipleship in this time. Now, by God's grace, some wonderful people have said yes to our invitation to speak. Skip, first of all, I'm grateful to you because you and I have been working on this exact set of messages since the beginning of the Joshua Fund and from that first conference. So in terms of the book of Joel, the chapter 1 will be taught by Ann Graham Lotz, of course, the renowned Bible teacher, daughter of Billy Graham, and you know that's going to be a great message, and I'm very excited about it. Chapter 2 is so much meat and potatoes that we've divided it. The first half will be Ray Bentley, of course, our brother from Maranatha Chapel in San Diego, and he'll do the first half, and then, of course, Skip, you'll do the second half, which I'm particularly excited about. I don't want to give your message away, but just those verses about restoring the years that the locusts have eaten. And so many people in Israel and in the church have had their lives eaten away by sin, and yet the Lord says, when you return to me with all your heart, I will restore what sin, what the devil has robbed, killed, and destroyed in your life. And I think for you, you're a living testimony of that. Your life was pretty messed up by your own description prior to Christ. And look what the Lord has done.
Mm.
When people meet you, they can't even imagine. I got to tell you, my son just read your testimony, my oldest son, Caleb, in that book, Harvest.
Mm-hmm.
He was shocked because he's met you, and he just thinks of you as, you know, you must have been a Christian all your life. He had no idea of your past. But see, this is the great thing. And I'm so excited about you bringing that message in chapter 2. Then I'll do chapter 3, which in part is, of course, tying up the whole book, but it's specifically a warning to the nations that if you divide the land of Israel, you will face God's judgment. And we are at a moment where all of the nations on the planet, including the United States, are trying to pressure Israel to divide the land, and we need to be loving but firm and clear from the scriptures. This will bring judgment and war, not peace and reconciliation.
It sounds so exciting. I can't wait.
Yeah, well, that's just day one, of course. And day two is going to be exciting, too, because then we'll say, okay, we spent the whole first day on the book of Joel. Now, so what? How does that apply in a bunch of very specific areas of prayer and different ministry areas, and so that will be day two of the conference, which I think will be equally as powerful because it'll be built on that foundation of the Word.
Hmm. Joel, these conferences are birthed out of your vision, and you have a group called the Joshua Fund. You know, for most people know you as a New York Times bestselling author. You've written several books, and we've talked about that before, but I want to talk just a little bit about the Joshua Fund. What kind of things are you involved with? What is the Joshua Fund all about?
Well, the Joshua Fund is a nonprofit ministry. Our mission statement is to mobilize Christians to bless Israel and her neighbors in the name of Jesus, according to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Of course, the famous verses about those who bless the children of Abraham, I will bless, those who curse them, I will curse. The question is, how do you bless Israel and her neighbors, meaning the Palestinians and the countries around her? Well, there's a lot of different ways, one of which is to provide food and clothing and medical supplies to the poor and needy in Israel. You know, one out of four Israelis live under the poverty level, which is only $800 a month for a family of four. So there's a lot of poverty, mainly immigrants, but elderly Holocaust survivors living in poverty. And, you know, Jesus, when he was feeding the 5,000, set us an example to feed the poor and the hungry and the needy and to do these things with unconditional love. So that's one of the ways that the Joshua Fund blesses Israel. Another way we bless is to educate Christians with these conferences and other ministries all over the world who don't really understand God's plan and purpose for Israel. So an educational ministry is a big part of what we do. We also strengthen the church in Israel with prayer and training conferences and all kinds of ministries to strengthen our brothers and sisters.
Joel, let me shift gears and put you in and ask you some sort of political slash prophetic questions. You've had a grip on the Middle East situation historically, prophetically. There's so much happening in so many nations. You mentioned Syria. We talk about Egypt, Libya. There's so much upheaval. What is the real significance of what's happening over there?
The last few months have been among the most extraordinary in the history of the modern Middle East. There's no question about it. There are revolutions sweeping North Africa and the Middle East. And you're right. From Algeria and Tunisia and Libya all the way through Egypt, Bahrain, Yemen, and of course Syria and Jordan. Lebanon, their government was overthrown just before all these others.
Right.
Jesus talks about in Luke 21, when he's listing all the signs that we'd be watching for that would be indicators that his return was close, one of them is revolutions, uprisings. And we're certainly seeing that. I mean, the 20th century was lots of revolutions, but now those revolutions tended to be Asia, Latin America, Europe, Eastern Europe in particular. But now we're seeing it come to the Middle East. Some of it is positive. A lot of it is negative. But here's what I think is happening, Skip, at its core. I think God is shaking the people of the Middle East through war, through rumors of wars, through revolutions, through terrorism, through persecution. He's shaking people who are so dependent on Islam, and he's getting them to think maybe Islam is not the answer. Maybe jihad is not the way. Maybe everything I've always thought was right isn't. That's what's happening all throughout the Middle East. I just literally yesterday, Skip, I had an opportunity on the phone to have an hour and a half phone conversation with an Iranian Shia Muslim man who prayed to receive Christ with me. And he had been a guy who had been in the Iranian military. He understood at the core of what Shia Islam is, and he had become so disgusted with it, so despondent. And he, through a mutual friend, told someone, I think I want to become a follower of Jesus. I don't know how. And this person said, well, why don't you call Joel? And, you know, by God's grace, his heart had been prepared. Why? Because he's seen the bankruptcy of Islam. And so I think we need to keep praying, let's not pray just that peace comes. I mean, we want peace, but God is using these turmoils to shake people and ask them or convince them to start searching. What is the truth? If what I was brought up with isn't working, and in fact is abhorrent, what is the truth? Where do I turn? Who really is God? And this man just became a brother yesterday, a brother in Christ, because he was searching and seeking. So disgusted he was by what he's seen as the evil of the Islamic Revolution.
In your book, Inside the Revolution, you called Mubarak and Gaddafi resistors to the ideological change in the Middle East. Now, one of them is out of the picture, at least temporarily, and one of them is under pressure, and that's Gaddafi. Are all the resistors being forced out?
Well, a lot of them are. That is a very interesting observation. Yes, Mubarak and Gaddafi are classic resistors, meaning they're not revolutionaries wanting Islamic, you know, they don't want an Islamic caliphate, a kingdom. They're not like the leaders of Iran, but nor do they want democracy. They just want to keep power and wealth to themselves, and they really couldn't care less how much their people suffer. When the Arab world was going to destroy Israel in 1956, Egypt was the leader. When the Arab world was going to destroy Israel in 1967, Egypt was the leader. When the Arab world was going to destroy Israel in 1973, Egypt was the leader.
Interesting.
It is the intellectual capital, the publishing capital, the television capital, the film capital of Sunni Arab Islam. And when their tyrant fell, suddenly Sunni Arab Muslims throughout the entire region thought, I guess anything is possible. Now, the big question mark is what happens to the Saudis, because the Saudi government, they are classic resistors also, as I describe in the book, and yet they're also an ally of ours. They provide a lot of oil to us. In some ways, they're more important to us economically than Egypt, but their government is corrupt, and it's deeply anti-Christian, and its day, I think, is numbered. Their days are numbered as a family. It's the House of Saud. You know, we think of it as Saudi Arabia because that's our lifetime, but it's really Arabia and the Sauds, the House of Saud. That's a family that runs that country, and people are getting sick of them. What happens? How fast it happens? I wouldn't want to speculate, but these winds of change are not light breezes. These are hurricanes and tornadoes that are blowing through the region. And what I was just with one of the leaders of the top Arab ministry in the region just for a couple of days, a week ago. What's interesting is they're seeing open doors now. Like, they have never had teams inside Libya ever. Now they do. Smuggling in Bibles, preaching the gospel, winning people to Jesus. It's a very unstable situation, but God is creating openings now, and we have to keep praying from the perspective of the gospel, not from the perspective of, you know, democracy. How do we advance the kingdom amidst all this tumultuous and dangerous change? In the end, there is no political solution here. We wish there was, and blessed are the peacemakers, so we want the diplomats to keep trying, but in the end, only Christ will tear down the walls of separation between Jews and Arabs, Israelis and Palestinians, and we need to show that good news, that it can really happen, and it really is happening. And hopefully, through radio and satellite television and webcasting, that conference will communicate to believers all over the world and will help encourage them and teach them and mobilize them to be part of what God is doing in the epicenter.
Well, Joel, we've been inviting people to the conference in May for a long time. A lot of our listeners won't be able to come. How will they be able to get the information or see or hear some of those broadcasts? Should they go to the Joshua website?
Yes, we'll have details up soon at joshuafund.net, joshuafund.net. There'll also be a live radio broadcast from Jerusalem that will happen on Saturday, May 14th, the day before the conference, and that, of course, is the official day of Israel's birthday. So that'll be an exciting broadcast, and we'll have details on what stations are covering that at joshuafund.net.
Joel, thank you for being my friend. Thank you for standing up for the truth, and thank you for your great writing, films, and your involvement in the Middle East.
Well, Skip, it's an honor to be with you, brother. I just consider you just a dear partner in the gospel and a dear friend, and you and Lenya and your whole team. And I thank you that you've been with us and supporting the Joshua Fund from the beginning, and not just financially, but in so many creative and powerful ways. And I really appreciate you and pastors like you, but in this case, you, because you've been a partner right from square one, and I can't tell you how grateful I am.
Well, we love you, Joel. Thanks. Keep it up.
Well, thanks, Skip and Joel, and thank you for joining us for this special First Friday interview with Joel Rosenberg and Skip Heitzig. Now, we didn't have quite enough time to get everything that was covered in this interview, but we have a copy of it posted at connectionradio.org. Or you can call for a copy of this interview at 1-800-922-1888. Also, you can find a whole collection of teachings from Skip when you visit our website. Perhaps you'd like to learn more about the end times and what the Bible predicts. Skip has taught through books like Daniel and Revelation, and you can find those and many more available online. Just visit connectionradio.org/library and browse through over 1,200 teachings from Skip. Give us a call and we'll help you find what you're looking for. Just call 1-800-922-1888. And don't forget to ask about that Final Days resource package available this month from The Connection.
Take the time to make the connection.
Next time, we'll resume our series, The Biography of God, right here in The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.